Welcome back to another of our Sun City Shadow Hills podcasts. I'm Bob Furring, and the podcast today is going to focus on a new play that we have coming up, produced by the Sun City Shadow Hills Performing Arts Club. And I have two guests today, Daryl Jacobs, who's the director of the program, and Alan Lorenz, who's the assistant director. So welcome, both of you.
Thank you for joining us.
And Daryl, I'd like to start with you.
Yes.
Tell us about your background. What did you do before coming to Sun City Shadow Hills?
Well, I was doing voiceover work, as well as a little bit of acting, bit parts and so on. And I also had my own, I was self-employed, I had my own rare collectible vinyl. And I know for the listenership, they know what vinyl is. But
vinyl like
to,
in...
Yeah, but they'd have to tell their kids and grandkids what vinyl was.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, and did you live in Los Angeles?
I lived in Sunland, California, in a section called Shadow Hills.
How about that?
Which is about... Burbank, it was north of Burbank.
I see. So. And how long have you lived here?
11 years.
11 years. So you've been here quite a while.
Yes.
And
one of the pioneers.
Well, yeah, really. Have you been involved with the Performing Arts Club for a long time?
I've been involved with Performing Arts for almost from the get-go.
I see.
I've been in a number of productions here. I've been fortunate enough to be nominated for Best Lead Actor a couple of times. By the Desert Theater League, which is a consortium of 35 different theater groups in and around the valley, and they have judges who go around and they look at about 135 different productions a year.
Really?
So it was a feather in my cap, even though I wasn't chosen. Uh-huh. Either time it was nice to be recognized.
Yeah, I didn't realize that there were that many productions
in
the
Coachella
Valley. Yeah. So, and Alan, please tell us about your background.
Well, I've not been involved in the performing arts until I got down here. I spent my career in finance. I spent 25 years with Hewlett-Packard, and about half of that was in finance, and I got, after that, I was a controller in Cupertino, California, in Bristol, England, and Guadalajara, Mexico, mm-hmm. along the way. And, in between and after that, I was... a manufacturing manager and a general manager. And I came down here about 5 years ago, and I saw a couple of productions and thought that would be fun. And I'd say maybe 3.5 or 4 years ago, I turned up for one of these things. And next thing I knew, I was involved, and I was looking for a part where I would get maybe 35 or 40 lines. And I ended up getting a part that had 550 lines.
Be careful what you ask for.
Yeah, just missed. And it was exciting. It was difficult. And I guess it is, you sort of get bit, and I'm involved. I'm going to stay involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, just as an aside, I think one of the great things about Sun City Shadow Hills is it gives people an opportunity to reinvent themselves. You can try something that you've never done before, and or something that, you might have been in a high school play and really liked it, but your life took you in a different direction, and here's a chance to come back to it.
I was just going to back up on something that Alan had said about his first meaty role of 550 lines. Alan also was nominated for Best Supporting Actor by the Desert Theater League.
Pretty good
on
for
his
your first
go
time.
Round. Yep.
That's...
So it was more than beginner's luck. Since that time, Alan and I were co-stars with one another. Since that time, we've been in two plays, and now... as my first directorial debut, I wanted him as my co-director, and it's been going beautifully.
So, will you actually be on stage, or as a director, are you making
I'm the audience. We're the audience, and we're sitting out there watching what's going on stage to make certain that at every given time that those who are doing their lines have the correct lines, and those who aren't are reacting to the action around them. So it's a multitasking predicament, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to be aware of everything that's around you. If this person wants to move here, you go, well, why are you going there? Well, this seems right. Yes, but sitting out here as the audience, it doesn't look right. And 3 pages later, you have to realize you're going to be over here now. How do you justify that? So it's a challenge. It is, but if I may, our cast, which we are very fortunate, are people that I've worked with, each and every one of them in a play. Some of them I've been directed by. Some of them have been nominated and won various awards from the Desert Theater League. And they are just a perfect. I couldn't ask for a better cast. They're all self-motivated and they, yes.
So how many people are in the cast? And then how many people, I mean, I'm sure there are probably more people off the stage there are. How many people are involved in the overall production?
Well, on the stage, in the cast itself, you've got the 4 leading ladies who are the aprons. Then you have 3 other roles that are semi-minor, but when those people come on stage, they light up the stage. So it isn't so much that, okay, these are the focal point. Everybody shines on this one.
Mm-hmm.
As far as behind the scenes, it is incredible because when this play isn't opening until November. However, in June, when it was first revealed that this is our play, we put out a call to the membership of Performing Arts that we needed a set designer, we needed a stage director, and of course they always get assistance as well. We need makeup people, we needed lighting people, we needed sound people, we needed publicity people. You know, I mean, it's great when you could open the door to the night of a performance and your audience comes in and, you know, but they might appreciate what's on stage, but they don't fully appreciate how much preparation and time and dedication on everybody concerned that goes into one of these things.
Now, all in, how many members are there of the Performing Arts Club?
I think it's up to about 45.
I was gonna say between 40 and 50. One of the interesting things here is whether you're doing a one-man show or like last spring we did Oklahoma, where we had a cast of, I don't know, 30 or 40 that were in the cast singing and dancing and doing various things. Behind the scenes, it doesn't necessarily change that much. A skeleton crew behind the scenes is probably about 20 people.
Mm-hmm.
Skeleton. And then if you have people, you know, people here have a life, actually, and they do other things besides work on this show. And so you can't just suppose that somebody is going to do everything that you point them in direction to.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up with 20 or 30 people involved in behind-the-scenes work.
Yeah. And of your club, what percentage would you guess were involved in performing arts before they moved here, and how many people, what percentage had picked it up in retirement?
A very few. Other people, like myself, I'm speaking for myself, I moved here, I don't golf, I don't play tennis, I'm not handy around the house. I had to find something to embrace.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, I was the president and of Concerts for You, bringing in big name acts. Then for 4.5 years, I emceed the comedy club here, Sir Laughs a Lot. And now this is definitely my niche. One of the biggest challenges, besides not having a lot of major, you know, players who did this in their previous life, is those that we do have are also willing to take the novices under wraps and nurture them to where they become very good actors themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest challenge we have, Bob, is this. The club has been in existence for 11 years. Since the club has formed, 3 of the original founders of the club, one is moving away next month. One moved away a couple of years ago. And one is just, we're getting up in age here.
Mm-hmm.
And so the biggest challenge that we have is to be able to find especially maybe in phase three where the baby boomers are moving in, people who would like to try out with this and take over the mantle. I was one of the youngins coming in here. Now I'm in my 70s. Mm-hmm. I'm still enjoying it, but as it gets old, as I get older, it's getting old, and I can't always, and for I don't know how long, be able to give it the energy and that it deserves. And
good. That's why I wanted to spend some time at this at the beginning, because we're at the beginning of a new season. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of new people that have moved in here, and I just want them to know that there is a role if they have any interest at all.
Absolutely. Good. And we're very nurturing to new people. Yesterday we had our first big meeting. We had 8 new members, and we meet the second Wednesday of every month.
Okay.
To check it.
Okay, so let's talk about the upcoming show. The title of it is Aprons.
Aprons.
Tell us about the plot.
The plot is this. It's very simple. It is the mistress of a Long Island estate is a very rich, completely eccentric and suspiciously homicidal woman who's totally clueless, lives in her own world. Think about picture Gloria Swanson in Sunset Boulevard meets Margaret Dumont in a Marx Brothers movie. She's an old, has-been grade B actress, and she married into money, and so she's now a widow. She's now considered Lady Deandra, and she has these four ladies who work for her, who are, in fact, the aprons. And so she has managed, it seems, to get away with murder. But then the people are dying mysteriously who come to visit her. And how she gets away with it, it takes accomplices. And so these four ladies, Adeline, Lydia, Angel, and Felicity, they are there as to protect their employee, because this is their cash flow. You know, if they turned her in, why, they wouldn't have any this great money coming in for doing nothing. And when the body count takes a sudden jump, the camaraderie of the maids begins to unravel late into comedic chaos. And we have a lot of slapstick that we've integrated into this show. It's very funny, and to see these people up there, we're putting them through a lot of physical paces, and at this age, it's a challenge. But they're doing it, and God love them for that. But also, they're trying to hide the bodies from a couple of visitors, an off-duty homicide detective who happens to be one of the apron's husbands, as well as the family lawyer. And so it's what happens when A meets B, and it's just, let's hide the body from this, and let's do this, and let's do that. But there's a twist at the end, which I'm not going to divulge, of course, but it's hilarious. There's some great lines. It's a very obscure play, and one of the things Performing Arts Group has is a play reading committee, where they will all sit down with maybe 6 different plays and read them in their entirety, and then discuss which ones they'd want to put on for the season.
I see.
And they're very obscure things. I mean, it's run the gamut from obscurities that you've never heard of but have turned out to be really great to things like Bye Bye Birdie. We did Bye Bye Birdie a number of years ago, a cast of 50 seniors portraying teenagers. My wife was fortunate enough to be nominated as choreographer of the year for that one. 2 seasons ago, we did Oklahoma. Incredible, it really was. And now we have these obscure plays. And most people who have never been to our theater before, when the performance is over, the actors go out to the lobby to greet everybody. And the most common thing we hear from people is, wow, I never realized how good this, I've enjoyed this far more than I thought I would, you know? And one of the enticements is, number one, for us in here, is you don't have to really drive very far. You can come in your golf cart. And number two, it's as cheap as going to the movies. And here you got a two-hour play and live and right in front of you with your friends and your neighbors.
So since this is the most local of shows, please tell us who of our neighbors are going to be in the production.
Gladly. Our lead is Adeline, who is a chief maid and the head cook. And she's the leader of the aprons, and she's strong and eloquent. And she's played by the wonderful Zenda Sarandarian, who, for those of you who have seen our shows, have seen her last in Oklahoma as, what was her role in that?
Aunt Ellie. Aunt Ellie.
Next we have Angel, who is a tough, mouthy, flirtatious broad with a little rough around the edges, and she's played by one of my favorite co-stars, who I've appeared a number of times, Donna Gambale. Next we have Felicity, who's a maid, and she's prim and proper and slightly overreactive, played by the award-winning Janae Kleben.
Kleben.
I know anybody who has seen Janae, either in plays on our stage or around the valley, knows when she's up there, she steals the scenes. And this is no exception this time around. Finally, the last maid we have is Lydia. She's timid, naive, and a little bit blonde. Also an award winner here in the valley. We're lucky to have all these talented people. Jan Briggs will be playing the role of Lydia, and she just nails that character. You are going to love it. I promise you that. Also, the lady who we referred to as the ditzy one, Deandra Martrell von Schmidt, Lady Di, the lady of the house, is played by
Eileen
Heckel. Eileen, you last saw in the lead in Bad Year for Tomatoes. She was also in Oklahoma. We so much wanted her that we changed the gender of Adu Annie's mother to father to Adu Annie's mother, because she captured that role beautifully. If you saw it, you know what I'm talking of. Mr. Erling Knowles, who is the Deandra's attorney and business manager in charge of the affairs of the estate, is played by our own Joe Rotunda, and she nails it too. She lost her complete New York, back east accent, and she carries it very well. I know you'll enjoy her as well. Avery Hollis, which is a self-proclaimed ladies' man and all-around jackass, is played by none other than Percy
Serrano.
And the hardest thing to Percy, personably, is such a nice guy that we've really had to get him to be rough around the edges, and he's coming around. But, you know, he's really a great person to work with. He's willing, he's able, and I know you're all going to enjoy Percy. He was also in Oklahoma as Will, and that was his first role, and he captured that, and he's so consistently there and on time and everything else to be good said about him. Greer Jensen is a likable man struggling with his own sexual preferences. I'm going to leave it at that, folks. When you see the play, you will understand it. Greer is played by a gentleman who has been in a number of musicals here, and this is one of the very few plays, a non-musical, in which he appears, Earl Warner. He played Curly in Oklahoma, and he was also the lead in How to Succeed in Business, and also the lead in Bye Bye Birdie. So I know those who have seen many of our shows will know these people. And last but not least, we have Thaddeus Bonaire, a flamboyant homosexual chef and highly conceited. And to find somebody who could fill that role, we really had to put our heads together, Alan and I, but we came up with a person who just captures the essence of this character. And I know you all know him from the different clubs, whether it be the ukulele club or the bowling league or just around the community, Mel Borsis. And when you see Mel in the costume he's in and his portrayal, excuse me, he just steals the stage. So we're hoping that you will be, and we're quite sure you'll be as enthusiastic about seeing this play as we are about putting it on.
Okay, and just to clarify things, the show, the performance is going to run from November 17th to November 20th. There's going to be how many evening performances?
Three evening performances. Pardon me. It's 7 o'clock. And, or is it 8 o'clock? I think it's 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock and then a matinee on Sunday.
Yeah.
At 1 o'clock.
Okay. And tickets are on sale in
Monday, Wednesday, and Friday between 10 in the morning and 1 in the afternoon at the Montecito Clubhouse.
Okay.
So checks, cash. They taking credit cards this year?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And credit cards. There will all seats are reserved, and all seats are $12. So we hope to see you there and to keep... through the years, we've been fortunate enough to have the support of the community where a number of our shows have been sellouts, and we've had to add extra seats to accommodate everybody. So we do hope to see everybody out there.
That's great. Well, it was just another benefit of living at Sun City. You not only can see good performances, you can actually participate if you're interested. So thank you both very much for
coming in.
You're telling us about the production you're going to be doing.
Appreciate it, Bob.
Appreciate it.
So that wraps up another podcast. Thank you for listening. I just want to remind you that I have a Facebook page, Sun City Podcast Fans. If you've got any comments or suggestions for other programs, I'd like to hear from you. So with that, thank you very much for listening.